This morning we'll take our Bible and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 21 to 36 is the text for our message this morning. John 8, 31 to 36. Life is full of choices, decisions that we make every day. And those decisions, of course, have consequences, whether it's where to eat, what to do, where to live, where to drive, what kind of vehicle, all those kind of things are decisions and things that we make. But we're also faced with choices over who and what to believe. We decide on who we're going to believe. We had an election here just a couple months ago, and we heard people say, politicians say what they were going to stand for and so on, and we had to decide, were we going to believe what they said they were going to do, and who were we going to vote for? And so we chose to believe or not to believe. We have people that come to our houses, or we walk into stores and we meet people who are salespeople, and they have all the information supposedly on what they're trying to sell. And you have to decide, will I believe what they claim about this product or not? It's a decision that we make. Do we believe them or not believe them? We have the media. And the media comes in many different formats, whether it be on the internet or on the TV or on the radio or wherever you hear it from, newspapers and so on. And you can read things or you can listen to things, you can watch things, and you have to say, do I believe what they're saying or not? And there's a choice to be made about whether to believe those people or not to believe them. And again, there's consequences whether we believe when we believe them or not believe them. You believe the salesperson and all the claims they make about the product. And you say, this is great. You spend all your money. You go home and you plug it in or you try it on or you drive it. And you say, this is nothing like what I was told. You believed and you're paying the consequences for that. And hopefully if you're that disappointed, you can return it and to get your money back. But we need to choose wisely. And we also need to realize that those choices have consequences. But we think about choosing to believe or choosing not to believe and who to believe and so on. Really, we call that faith. We call the choice to believe faith. And the most important thing that we have to choose about in relation to faith is about the Lord Himself and His Word. We have the opportunity, and everyone is given the opportunity, of whether to believe or not to believe the Bible. Whether to believe it's the Word of God or not. Whether to believe what God says in the Bible or not to believe it. We call that faith, and we say people have placed their faith in God and His Word, or people don't place their faith in God and His Word. But there's a consequence, a grave consequence, to either way. A very serious and important consequence as to whether you believe or do not believe. See, God has made man with a free will to make these choices, but what we must realize is the importance of well-placed faith. That's what I'd like us to preach on this morning, is the importance of well-placed faith from John chapter 8, where Jesus is continuing a dialogue with people in the temple. Then He is encouraging them and He is stating the importance of believing His words. Some did and some did not. And so they would one day, if not that day, realize the importance of well-placed faith. And we need also to realize that. John chapter 8, verse 21, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Notice the importance and the significance of faith. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Verse 25, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, For I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for your word this morning, and we pray that it would speak to each of our hearts. Lord, you know our hearts today. You know our need. You know that if there's perhaps some this morning who have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation. Lord, I pray that you would realize today that it would be well-placed faith to trust you and to trust your word. And Lord, that they would enjoy the consequence, the benefit of believing in you, that they would have freedom from sin and would not die in their sins. Lord, I pray as Christians, we too would realize that we need to trust you on an ongoing basis and we need to follow you and follow your word and follow your will and way for our life. For then you've said that we would be your disciples indeed and that we would know the truth. And that we would be free. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning to examine our hearts and to have open hearts to the Spirit of God. As you speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to consider, first of all, what Jesus said here about a restricted place. In verses 21 to 24, Jesus begins by talking about a place that he is going to, and he says that not everybody is going there. He said that he was going there, but some of them would not be going there. Now, who is Jesus speaking to? Well, we are reminded that he is in the temple. He is continuing to speak in the temple. Verse 21 was continuation. Of course, the rest of the chapter, verse 20, says that he had been speaking by the treasury in the temple. And he's still continuing to speak in the temple in verse 21. The crowd is diverse. Some were people who wanted to hear him, who'd come to hear him early in the morning, as we said last week. Others were there to try and trip him up, to try and cause him to do things or say something that whereby they could accuse him and have him arrested according to their law and have him put away. We can see by Jesus' statements here that he would be addressing those who were trying to trip him up. Those who were mentioned in verse 13, the Pharisees, who were complaining about his record being of himself. The Pharisees were those that objected most to Christ, and they failed to believe his teaching. And here they were warned of the consequence of their choice. Jesus tells us of his destination in verse 21 and says that he's going to this place that they could not come. He said, Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, And shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Jesus was going somewhere where some of them would not be able to come because they would die in their sins. And they would not be able to go to the place of which he spoke. The place he was going was a place of life. But without Christ, they would not be able to go because they would die in their sins. The place he was going was a place of perfection. But they could not go because they were full of sin. See, the place of which Jesus spoke was heaven. The place from which he had come. He said in a couple of verses down, I am from above and ye are from beneath. He said, I'm going back to where I came from. I'm going back to heaven. But in your current condition and your current mindset, you cannot come. You cannot come to that place whither I go. May I say today that none of us deserve to go to that place where Jesus was speaking of, that place of heaven. None of us deserve to go there, nor can we enter there in our natural state. Of course, the Jews then asked him, these Pharisees, asked him in verse 22 and wondered amongst themselves, where is he going that we can't go? They were very entitled, as our society is very entitled today, and they felt like anywhere good we can go. If it's talking about heaven, that's a place that we can go. But they are asking, where is he going? Same as they'd asked in chapter 7, verse 34. Where is he going? Is he going to preach to dispersed among the Gentiles? Where is he going? But due to their refusal to believe who he was and their proud view of themselves, they naturally assumed that he was going to kill himself and he was going to a place they wouldn't want to go to. They assumed that he was going to take his own life, and in taking his life, he could not go to heaven. And so therefore, they said, will he kill himself? Well, we wouldn't want to go to where he's going. Isn't it amazing how proud man can be? Assuming that God Almighty is wrong and we are right. So many times it's the case. Jesus would explain to them, and thus to us, as recorded to us by the Apostle John, the sad consequences of refusing to believe his word. And he would explain to them that the place to which he was going was a place that they ought to desire to go, that everyone wants to go, but to which they could not go in their current state. Verse 23, he says, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Jesus was telling them they couldn't go to where he was going because of their sin. They were from beneath. They were flesh. He would later tell them in verse 44, as we'll get to, Lord willing, next week, ye are of your father the devil. They could not go to that place of heaven, that place of joy and bliss, because they were from beneath. And as we'll see in the next verse, they were not believers in the one who would allow them access or be able to give them the access to heaven. Jesus was from heaven. It was his throne. And he would go there again. He was not a fallen sinner like them and like us. He was God in the flesh. John told us about that right at the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Some of those songs we sang this morning talk about the fact that he was made flesh. The Word made flesh dwelt among us. He was explaining to them, I am not like you. I am not a human being in the sense that you are. Yes, he was 100% man, but he was not sinful man. He was God in the very flesh. He was God the Son, conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. As Mary would ask, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said, the Lord shall come upon you, and that which is born of you shall be called the Son of God. Jesus said, I am not from beneath. You're from beneath, but I am from above. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Again, we're reminded this morning that heaven is not an automatic destination for mankind. You ask the average person on the street, would you like to go to heaven? Well, yeah. You ask the average person, do you think you'll go there? Well, yeah, I think I will. You go to most funerals and it's an automatic assumption that, oh, he's in a better place now. She's in a far better place. Doesn't matter how wicked the person lived their life. Doesn't matter how little they said about God, thought about God, believed in God. Doesn't matter. Nothing is mentioned that, oh, they're in a far better place now. Mankind has this thought that it's an automatic destination, is that mankind will go to heaven one day when we die. But the reality is that we're excluded from that place because we are from beneath. We are sinners. We are fallen man since the fall of man in the beginning of Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says that death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. You know, if God would let one sin into heaven, even if it was just a little bitty sin, it wouldn't be heaven anymore. Heaven is heaven because it's perfect. There is no sin. And you say, well, I'm pretty good. Well, pretty good doesn't cut it, because if God let all the pretty good people in based on their goodness, it wouldn't be very good at all, because everyone's definition of being pretty good is a lot different. Jesus said to them, you can't go where I'm going because you're from beneath. You are sinners. But Jesus came to save us. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so verse 24, he tells us the difference that faith makes. Verse 24 is a critical verse, a wonderful verse, a powerful verse, where Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. At this point in time, they did not believe who he was. And so he starts out by saying, you will die in your sins. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, and repeated in verse 20 of Ezekiel 18, that says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. I may say to you this morning, there's not a one of us that hasn't sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I'm pretty good and I haven't done anything really bad. Well, what constitutes really bad? Take out the really. I haven't done anything bad. Oh, you haven't? You haven't done anything wrong? No, all of us have. All of us have sinned, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus said, you'll die in your sins. But I'm glad that Jesus says, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins, because there's our hope. That means if we do believe who he is, we don't have to die in our sins. The difference is faith. Faith in Jesus. They and could have, and we can, change our eternal destiny by believing in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe who I am he, then the reverse would be, you won't die in your sins. Wasn't that simple? Faith. The importance of well-placed faith. Place your faith in one who is reliable, whose word has never failed, who is true from the beginning, Jesus Christ. Place your faith in him and what he has done for you, and you get to avoid dying in your sins and enjoy life in heaven forever. But if you believe not in Jesus Christ, you shall die in your sins. Salvation by simple faith in who Jesus is. They would ask him in a moment, who is he? But we know who he is. He's the Messiah. You see, if you see yourself, if you see Jesus for who he is, then you have to realize yourself for who you are. If Jesus is the Savior and he came to save the world, and you see that he is the Savior, then you have to say, well, that means I needed a Savior. That means I'm a sinner. So believing in Jesus makes us realize who we are. Believing in Jesus makes us realize that we are sinners who need the Savior that he is. God sent his Son so that we do not have to die in our sins. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is available. It was to them. It is to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Believing in Jesus is the difference between life and death for your soul. You say, but I've done good things, and I've given money, and I've helped the poor, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done... Jesus didn't say, if you're good and do good things, you won't die in your sins. He said, if you believe that I am he. He didn't say, if you don't do good things, you're going to die in your sins. He said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so I ask you this morning, have you believed in Jesus? Have you placed your faith in him and him alone for your salvation? It's a critical thing, and it's important to realize the importance of well-placed faith, because it makes a difference for your soul for all of eternity. And so we've seen the restricted place, heaven, that is restricted because we cannot go there in our sin, but Jesus has made the way possible, if we will believe in him, to go there. And so now we see the reality of his person, the reality of his person in verses 25 to 29. As soon as Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins, they go, well, who are you? As if they didn't know, as if they shouldn't have known. A lot was at stake in believing who Jesus was, and now they piously say, "Well, who are you?" They'd heard him say who he was. He just said it in the same conversation, "I am from above." He'd said in the previous, in last week's message, in the same conversation, the same day as we would see it here, "I am the light of the world." He talked about being one with the Father. He talked about the witness of the Father. There was no question. He told them who he was. But they were willingly ignorant. They'd seen his miracles. They'd seen the effect of his words on other people when they came back and said, "Never man spake like this man." They should have known, there should have been no doubt who he was in their minds. What more did they need? What more could he do? What more could he say? But they were willingly ignorant of who he was. That means the evidence showed who he was, but they just chose not to believe in it. You know, many are the same today. There's evidence of God's power and goodness all around. There's evidence of who Jesus is and why he came and what he came for and the change that he's made in the people's lives of people who believe in him. And yet some would say, "Well, I don't know. I don't know that I believe that stuff. I don't know that I believe in Jesus. I don't know." What more is there that you need to see? What more is there that you need to know? What more is there that you need to read? Just open the scriptures and say, "God, speak to my heart and show me who you are." He will. Don't be willingly ignorant. Many refuse to believe today as these people and say, "Who is he? I don't know. Maybe he was just a good teacher. Maybe he never was at all." Man's willing ignorance was evident in Jesus' day. It was prophesied by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, and we see it all around us today. Willing ignorance, ignoring the facts, and just blindly saying, "I will not believe." But Jesus told them in verses 26 to 29, there would come a time when they would believe. There would come a time when they would realize who he was. Their lack of faith at this point restricted what he could say to them. But he said, there's going to come a day when you will believe. You will see who I am. According to what Jesus said here, in verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he." They wouldn't realize, they wouldn't acknowledge, they wouldn't see who he was until they crucified him. When they lifted him up upon the cross, they would see him and they would see who they had not believed. At that point, some would recognize what they had done. We read in Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching to the multitude on the day of Pentecost, and he says to them, "You have taken and crucified the King of Glory. You've crucified the Son of God." And they, with conviction, said, "What shall we do?" They were convicted in their heart. They said, "Yes, you're right. What can we do about it?" What did Peter say? Repent. Believe in Jesus. Believe who he was. Turn from your sin and place your faith in him. And we read that 3,000 were saved and baptized and joined with that assembly of believers. But it wasn't until they had lifted him up that they saw. We read later in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, that the Bible tells us a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Well, it was a lot of the priests and the Pharisees and so on that were unwilling to believe in him when he was speaking these words. But later, after they'd lifted him up, after they'd had him crucified, they believed. You know, it's a sad thing, is it not, that many will not believe in Jesus Christ until it's too late. Fortunately for these, it wasn't too late in that they believed, some of them believed in Jesus when he was crucified, and they placed their faith in him. We've spoken about those. But there are many people, even amongst those who heard Jesus, And they're, according to what he said, that they would die in their sins because they were refusing to believe in him. And there are many people today who will wait until it's too late to place their faith in Jesus. Many people are waiting for tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll believe. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. One day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know the sad thing? The sad thing, many will not do it until after it's too late. They will do it before those horrible words to be thought, to be heard, depart from me, I never knew you. It's too late then. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't put it off and don't wait. You will one day, you will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. You will see Him for who He is, but don't wait until it's too late to save your eternal soul. Jesus is real. He's the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the one who was prophesied to come to be the Savior. But don't wait to believe in Him. Look in His Word. See Him for who He is and believe. You see, well-placed faith makes all the difference. In the last part of our text this morning, we see the release of persuasion. The restricted place, heaven, was only a place where Jesus was going, and only those who would believe in Him could go. They had to believe in the reality of His person. And now we see the release of persuasion in an effort to alliterate the message. Hopefully you remember it a little bit better this morning. We speak of persuasion, of course, as faith. The freedom of faith. Jesus talks about the freedom that comes with believing in Him in our text this morning. We find in verse number 30 that some did believe in Him. As He spake these words, many believed in Him. We could put a big amen beside that. Many believed in the words that He spoke. Many believed in Jesus. Though to some it fell on deaf ears, many others believed in Him. Some had come to criticize, but others came to hear. Many believed as He spoke. They believed His words. You know, sadly, we will not see every person we speak to about the Lord get saved. But praise God, if we tell people about the Lord, some will believe. Some will believe in Him. Those who believe the gospel will be saved. They'll become believers in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that many believed on Him. And so Jesus then turns to speak to those who believed on Him particularly. And He says in verse number 32, or verse 31 rather, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. We see there's a difference between believers and disciples mentioned here. Jesus addresses the believers and tells them they have the opportunity to become disciples. Not every believer is a disciple. Usually when we think about the disciples in Jesus' day, we think about the 12, Peter, James, John, and so on. But they were not the only disciples. They were the apostles and they were disciples. But there were many other disciples of Jesus during His earthly ministry. A disciple is a learner or a pupil, a student, one who follows the teachings of another, one who desires to learn. Again, not every believer becomes a disciple, but they should. We should. All of us as believers should be disciples of Christ. We may wonder if it's possible for a person to be a believer and yet not be a disciple. But according to what we read here, that Jesus challenged all who believed to become disciples. They had the choice of whether they were going to be followers of Him or not. If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples. Indeed, you're truly My disciples if you stick with, you remain in, you follow My teachings, Jesus said. Disciples learn about who Jesus is and what He can do in their lives. A believer has believed in Christ and has received forgiveness of their sin and salvation. A disciple says, I want to know what Jesus can do for me in my life. I want to know what Jesus wants me to do with my life. I want to learn more about Him. I want to follow Him. To be a disciple, you must choose to read, apply, and study God's Word. You must read it and consider it and study it, not with just the desire of intellectual knowledge, but the desire to say, yes, this is what I want to do with my life. Disciples are those who apply the Word of God, who hear the Word of God and keep it and build their lives upon it. Following Him in believer's baptism, following Him in the way that He would have them to go. Let me ask you, if you're a believer here this morning, do you consider yourself a disciple? Are you a disciple or are you just a believer? If you're not a disciple, may I ask you this morning, why not? You know, it behooves every believer to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, but some are not willing to pay the cost, the desire to study God's Word and apply it in their life. Jesus said that the disciples would know freedom. He said that if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are two benefits Jesus says to being a disciple here. Number one, you'll know the truth. Because Jesus only speaks the truth. If you study Him and you study His word, you will know truth. They would know what is right and what is good and what is honest. Do you want to know the truth? Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in knowing the truth, Jesus said, you'll be made free. You know, truth is liberating. Knowing the truth is a liberating, freeing thing. The Bible is called the perfect law of liberty. Study the Bible, it brings freedom to your life. See, what do you mean it brings freedom to my life? Well, many people live in superstitions and myths that have them bound. Read the truth of the Word of God. And let the truth of God's Word set you free and realize that, hey, God is God and He's in control and I can follow Him and He has my good in mind and He wants the best, what's best for my life. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. You know, our society, our world says, get God away, get the Bible away. We want freedom. They're doing the exact opposite thing that will bring freedom. They're trying to push away what will give them freedom. Because the Bible is a liberating, freeing book. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The devil wants people to think that following Jesus is onerous and binding. But the truth is that following Jesus allows you to know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Are you free today? It comes by knowing the truth, which comes by being Jesus' disciple. Now, in telling Jesus telling His disciples this information, these believers this information, of course, there's still a great crowd of people around, and some of them were not yet His believers. And those people begin to speak up now and say, hey, wait a minute, what do you mean being made free? We're not in bondage anyways. And you may be thinking the same thing. They said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. See, I don't feel like I'm in bondage. Neither did they, but Jesus said they were. They were in bondage to sin. People think they are free so that they can do what they want, but the reality is that sin controls their lives. It said of Ahab, that wicked king of Israel, in 1 Kings 21:25, that he sold himself to work wickedness. You know what that means? He was bound to work wickedness. He sold himself to work wickedness. Proverbs 5, verse 22 speaks of cords of sin holding people. Sin binds you. Sin holds you back. You say, I'm not serving anything. If you're serving something, I can guarantee. Titus 3, verse 3 speaks about before we were saved and our past time of our life and how we served sin and lust. We were bound by it. It had us. We thought we had it, but it had us. Jesus said to these people, whoever is the servant of sin, commits sin as the servant of sin. We commit sin. They were bound by sin. It's interesting, isn't it? The people say, get rid of the Bible and let's forget about all this and we'll have freedom. Peter says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 9, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. We've got all kinds of people saying, hey, we'll give you freedom. We'll offer you freedom. And you look at their lives. They're bound. They're bound in sin. They're bound in corruption. They are the servants of wickedness and corruption. So many people are bound in sin today without even realizing it. We often refer to things as being addiction, things such as alcohol and drugs and pornography and these things, and we could talk about many more. They aren't just addictions. They are sins that have people bound. You know, we like to change the terminology on things to make them sound less bad. Let's call sin for what sin is and say sin is binding and people are bound by sin. And Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin, and you need to be made free by the truth and by the Son. And He is the only one who can make you free, Jesus Christ and His truth. The problem is that many, like these people, don't see themselves as being bound by sin. Without Jesus Christ, we are bound by sin. And sadly, many Christians are bound by some of these sins as well, perhaps because they are not the disciples of Christ that they ought to be. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we've been made free, and thus we need to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to righteousness. And so he concludes this our text this morning with verse 36, another powerful statement of freedom here. And he says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Not the false freedom that people that living in sin think they have. Free indeed. Truly free. Do you want to be truly free? Only Jesus can give you that freedom. If we will but acknowledge our bondage and believe on the Son, we can be free. Jesus said the truth will make you free. Knowing what is fact and what is myth and fiction is liberating. Knowing Jesus' truth makes you free. Now he says that truth is found, or freedom is found in the Son. Man is helpless to free himself from sin. He needs the intervention of the Son. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus came to save us, and in Him we are freed from the penalty of sin. We all rejoice in that. We say, praise God, I believed in Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I have life. I am freed from the penalty of sin. We all rejoice in that. But my friend, today we also are freed in Jesus as we follow Him and do His will and we decide His disciples, we are freed from the power of sin, the controlling of sin in our life. We don't have to live bound by sin. We can have His victory in our lives. And then, praise God, one day we'll be freed from the presence of sin itself. Heaven will be a wonderful place where there is no more dealing with sin. There is no more lying and cheating and stealing and lusting and immorality. There's no more of that. We're in heaven in a beautiful, perfect place, freed from the presence of sin forever. How? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the only way you can have the freedom from those three areas of freedom. Is through the Son, Jesus Christ. How? we go back to verse number 24. If ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. We say this morning, if you believe in Jesus, you will not die in your sins. He will make you free. It comes down to the importance of well-placed faith. Well-placed in Jesus. Place your faith in Jesus today. If you don't, you will die in your sins. If you do, you won't die in your sins. Then, believer, follow Him. Become a disciple of Christ. Follow Him. Be baptized. Follow in His Word. Carry on in His truth. You'll be His disciples indeed, and you'll know the freedom from the power of sin in your daily life.